views on this program are opinions of dentist industry experts and do not constitute personal financial advice. This program is furnished by Dentist Advisors, a registered investment advisor. You're tuned into Dentist Money Industry Expert Series. Now here's your host, Reese Harper.
Welcome to the Dentist Money Show. I'm your host, Reese Harper, here with a special guest who's managed to take his practice to the next level. I thought it'd be really cool to interview Dr. Jason Lowry. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great, Reese. Thanks for having me.
Me and Jason actually have a couple things in common. We both spent a little bit of time in Chile, right? Which
is
cool.
Correct.
We both speak Spanish, but yeah. For a couple of our listeners that may be listening in Spanish, this is not translated into 12 languages, so we're going to go with English.
Perfect.
I loved your accent.
Thanks. I got the Chilean accent down, huh?
Yeah, you totally did.
I mastered it out a couple years to master it.
It's awesome. Okay, so the reason we wanted to have Jason on is that he started his practice back in 2004, and he did well, but probably like most people, kind of was hitting a glass ceiling and just felt like he was frustrated or struggling. How would you say it, man? Let's give us a little bit of background, and then people can get an idea of why we're having you on today.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was the strange kid out of dental school that I think I was the only one in my class. I bought a practice right out of school.
Okay, no experience.
Okay. I walked in the front door, the selling doc walked out the back door.
You're alone.
And so I have, while I barely made it through dental school, I did graduate like with honors from the School of Hard Knocks. I've just had to, over the years, just totally learn it. And so, over the years, I struggled. I mean, our first year we did $300,000. And, for years we're at $600,000-$700,000. And I thought, this is what it is. I guess I did all this school and I'm barely going to make ends meet for the rest of my life. I mean, so I was at that level for years.
Yeah. Well, there's not a lot left over in that, the hard part about dentistry is there's a certain amount of fixed cost that if you don't get above that, it just doesn't seem like there's enough money to make it worth it. I mean, you've got a pretty big student loan, you have all this practice debt, new equipment needs to be replaced like all the time, and it just seems like you're never getting ahead at $500,000 to $700,000,
Exactly, and I think the average dentist makes $174,000 a year is what the ADA says, and you're in the highest tax bracket. You take out your taxes, you
pay your debt,
you pay all these student loans. You do some charitable contribution, tithing, whatever, and you turn around, and you're just like everybody else. I mean, there's no money left at the end of the month, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating. So what made you start changing your mind about what was the difference maker for you? What did you decide? I got to figure this out. I have to figure out how to improve.
A couple things did it for me. I was five or so years in my career, barely making ends meet. And thinking, did I make the wrong decision?
Yeah, was this
I've got all this money into this thing.
Yeah.
I'm so far down the river. I mean, what else do I do? I literally was like filling out law school applications. I was thinking about going to law school because it was so stressful. You can see all my white hair.
Yeah.
I mean, that was from the early years and just super stressed out. And, it really kind of hit me. I spent all this money on... I'm like, okay, learning more clinical stuff, that's got to be my answer. That's going to solve everything. And so I spend all this money on continuing education courses, tons of equipment. I mean, you name it, gadget or whatever. I just thought, okay, get the next gadget, take the next course, and it's going to solve all my problems, and I'm going to suddenly be making all this money. And I woke up one day, and I'm like, I've spent $200,000 in the last year and a half on learning how to do implants. And I'm placing 4 implants a month. And for the last 2 years, I've been placing 4 implants a month. And I love implants, and I'm passionate about, some niche stuff that really got me into dentistry in the first place was, seeing somebody's life was transformed in front of me was when I was observing a friend in a dental office. But day-to-day dentistry, that's not day-to-day dentistry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just you're in the trenches. It's tough. It's
pain
hard.
Relief.
Yeah, emotionally, physically, mentally, it was tough. And so, I had a little bit of an awakening, just a bunch of things lined up. I kind of had this vision of, okay, what can I do to grow my practice through the dentistry that I enjoy doing? I met who's a good personal friend now, Dr. Mark Costas, who taught me and you know, really showed me that you can be a great clinician and a great business person. Because in dental school and after dental school, it's just the clinical dentistry. We don't learn the business side of things. We don't learn to manage our finances. We don't learn to, you know, market any of that stuff. And so,
yeah.
Anyway, so a bunch of events were able to happen that really ended up just changing my life and my business.
Right? That's awesome, man. So what would you say, you know, some of the main mistakes that dentists make in this mindset, like what did you, how did you view your life early on in your career compared to how you viewed it a little bit later?
Sure. You know, dentistry is a goofy profession. I mean, you got to be a little weird to be a dentist. And what makes it more awkward is you got this 200-year-old business model, you know. It was frowned upon just until not even too long ago, yeah, to advertise and to do all this other stuff. And so you got this 200-year-old business model, and it's awkward. It's like we're on an island. You graduate, most people graduate dental school, they go into their office, they lock the door behind them, and then 40 miserable years later, they come out and they're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know? And I was in that loop. I mean, I was running on that treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, like I said, just a series of events that made me say, all right, there's got to be a different way.
So ultimately, what do you think, you can remember going around 500,000 to 700,000 collections, and then today you're double, triple this, you know, your practice is significantly larger.
Sure.
What incrementally happened along the way with specifically that made you every year see your collections improve? You know, what did it start and kind of how did it increase?
Well, I mean, I was just working like a crazed maniac doing as much dentistry as I could, and I finally got to the $1 million mark, you know, this illustrious thing, and
yeah.
I thought, all right,
you made it.
I did it, man,
I arrived.
I'm here.
Yeah.
But I was working, you know, just ridiculous, just running around, just cranking out the dentistry, and it was miserable.
Yeah.
And so then, I mean, I just made a conscious decision that, hey, you know what, I'm going to focus on dentistry that I like, you know,
yeah,
short-term orthodontics, implants and that sort of thing. And I'm going to see if I can grow my practice. So I consciously made a decision that I'm going to focus on some of this other stuff. There's always going to be general dentistry I can do, and there's always going to be that type of stuff that's filling the practice. But let me just concentrate on my niche,
yeah,
and see what I can do.
But you already had a pretty solid, like,
no,
at that,
I mean,
point
had,
you have a fairly solid practice,
sure,
of patients,
yep,
but you hadn't really converted them to looking at you as a multi-service operation or a multi-service provider.
Correct.
Yeah. And so how did you go through that process of getting people to start looking at you differently, you know, or presenting new dentistry that you weren't presenting in the past?
No, I get it. And, you know, it's tough because we're doing exams all day. We're right in the middle of dentistry. We don't have time to really explain things and sell.
Yeah.
And I hate selling.
Yeah.
And I think what really did it for me, because like I said, I just kind of had this vision of, I've spent $200,000 on the last, you know, year or so on implant stuff and training and this and that. And what really did it to me was a patient came in through hygiene, and I looking at the x-rays and I see this implant and I'm like, I didn't place that implant. And so,
you're
so I start talking to her and she's like, oh, yeah, hey, Jason, I didn't even know you did implants. I'm like, all right. So whatever I'm doing to tell my patients that this is the services I do and that I love and I'm passionate about, obviously is not working.
Oh, no.
And so, you know, was it that, and like I said, it was this huge culmination of events. A couple of days after that, you know, because I just started, I'm like, all right, I got to, whatever I'm doing, you know, the old, you know, you keep Einstein's definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over,
yeah,
expecting different results. I'm like, all right, I got to step back and I got to do something totally different. And so I planted the seed, and over the next few weeks, you know, I just was thinking, what can I do differently? And I was pulling to my office one morning, and I'm right across the street from the hospital. They have a huge LED sign, and it says, hey, come meet Dr. XYZ, the new dermatologist. He's got a lunch and learn, we're going to talk about this. And a light bulb, this huge light bulb. And I'm like, why am I not doing this, you know, like a lunch and learn or something to help educate my patients on some of the dentistry that I love doing?
Yeah.
And so then I started putting in the work, coming up with this crazy idea, And so,
where did you host your first event, if you remember?
So, you know, it was several months later, putting together a presentation and kind of figuring some things out, trial and error, like giving a presentation in front of friends and family, just getting their feedback. And then I just did it in my office, you know, on Thursday night. We, you know, got some media out there and had patients show up. And my first seminar, open house, whatever you want to call it, brought in 70 grand worth of dentistry.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So did you feed anybody anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had some food, you know, we had some little giveaways to patients, had some raffle stuff. It was a super
fun. Did you market it to your whole patient base, all your active patients?
You know, initially it was kind of a learning process, just like the whole dentistry thing was.
Yeah.
So initially we just kind of, again, the stars aligned, we had a great event, it worked out nice. And then I sat back and I'm like, okay, what did we do successful? What didn't work, did work? And so then I started having more of these seminars, kind of dialing in the marketing pieces to get people to attend and market, you know, and all that. And so then we started, you know, just really started studying marketing to learn all the, you know, tools and tips and tricks. And so then we finally got it dialed in consistently enough that it was, we were able to just reproduce the same thing. And then I had a few friends approach me and like, Jason, help me out, man. Hey, you're doing all this stuff. Help me out. And so I helped them kind of do the same thing. It's just been cool. Been nice.
What did you see your practice go from, like, kind of at a point before? Because I know you've got a bigger team now, and
yeah,
you've got an associate, and you know, where did the practice go from before you hired that associate?
So
you went from 300 your first year to kind of hitting.
And then I was at the 700-800 for years, and then I was at the $1 million mark for like, you know, 2 or 3 years. I just couldn't break past that. A lot of it, I think, was mental, and
it's a big hit place to hit anyway, but yeah.
You know, and maybe part of it was, hey, I'm comfortable, I made it, whatever. And then we started hosting these seminars. And then the next year, boom, we're at 1.3. Year after that, boom, 1.6. Year after that, you know, 2 million. And it just kept going. And finally, I'm like, all right, I got to bring somebody on, because now this thing's kind of unraveled and I can't control it all myself. So
yeah,
that's when I brought my partner on last year to,
that's great,
to help manage it all. Yep.
That's really cool. So do you think that, I mean, it doesn't sound like you were drawing a lot of your growth, though, came from cultivating your existing active patient base, right?
Well, not only that. I mean, we definitely did that and helped educate the patients we already had.
But you did draw, it was drawing in a new audience, too.
But also drawing in a bunch of new patients. And that 70 grand, I mean, that wasn't all niche services. A lot of it was what I like to call collateral dentistry, just dentistry that these new patients need. You know, yeah, they want the implants or they want the straight teeth or the this or that, but they also need their, you know, some cavities fixed, they need a few crowns, they this, they that. And so it was just kind of a culmination. So yeah, now it's just perpetuated, you know. We don't have to have these seminars quite as often, but we still have them, you know. I'm a wet finger dentist, I still do dentistry, that's what I do for a living.
Yeah.
And and you know, last month we saw 130 new patients, and so it's just our practice is growing like crazy.
That's awesome. So how would you kind of frame this if you had to give dentists one or two pieces of advice on how to get to the point where they go from, you know, 600 to more than 2 million in collections, you know, what would you say a couple of the biggest pieces of advice are you'd have?
It's an easy formula, really. And it's an age-old formula. The biggest thing is mindset. I had what I like to call stinking thinking for years. You know, I would look at the guy down the street doing tons of dentistry, seeing all these new patients, and I'm like, that guy, you know, he's working twice as fast as I am, working twice as hard, and you know what, he's probably doing half the quality of dentistry I'm doing.
Yeah.
Just because I wasn't exposed to anything different, so in my mind, that's what I created. Hey, if I'm working this hard, then this guy's got to be, you know. And so then I saw a couple of friends, you know, got involved with some mastermind groups and some things, and you see these people that are great people doing great dentistry and doing these huge numbers.
Yeah, it's like, wait, I thought they were supposed to like have a really messed up busy life that was out of control, and they were doing bad dentistry, and they're not, though.
No. And so it's just like the old, you know, Roger Bannister, the 4-minute mile guy.
Yeah.
Same thing. I mean, no one could do a 4-minute mile. Roger does the 4-minute mile, and then the next 6 months, hundreds of people do a 4-minute mile. Yeah. And so it was a big part of the formula was me just flicking that switch and totally just having a paradigm shift and saying, you know what? Yeah, hey, I can do this too.
Yeah.
And so that was huge. The other second part of the puzzle is, hey, somebody's done it before, and they've done it successfully. You just got to find where you want to go. Somebody that's done what you want to do, latch onto their coattails. I mean, just what I've found is successful people love to share their success.
Yeah.
You know, they love to teach and show you. And so you find a couple of people that are doing or what you want to do or where you want to be, learn some things, and then just do what they're doing. Don't do like I did where you're, you know, just plodding away because you know no better and you just do the same thing that everybody else is doing. And
yeah.
And before you know it, you know, there you are.
Well, I think it's great insight, Jason. I think a lot of people can take a lot away from this. And I think one of the biggest mistakes I see from a financial perspective is people are stuck at these production levels for decade
sure.
plus, you know, and there's always a reason why things have to be the way that they are. You tell yourself excuses about this is just the way it is. This is just the city I'm in. It's too competitive where I'm at. It's too much traffic. I have a bad location, or I can't work as fast as somebody else. I mean, it's not healthy, even though all of us are at different points, you know, and sometimes it's harder for some to make progress than others because they might have different natural abilities. There is there shouldn't be a reason why someone's stuck at the same level for declining levels for extended periods of time. You just need to get help and reach out and find resources. And that's why I love this podcast. I think people like you are able to give a lot of good insight. And so if people want to get in touch with you, and you've built a really, it's a great system that you've put together to help Dennis get introduced to this. You've got books and DVDs and coaching material, and it's a really cool kit that you've put together to help people kind of figure out how they can increase their practice. How would people get a hold of you and get more information?
Yeah. Before I answer that, can I have 1 minute just
to
touch on something you mentioned that I see every day? I mean, so I was that guy that said, you know, I'm in this middle of nowhere, blue collar, nobody has any money. I mean, 4 implants a month, that's probably my ceiling.
Yeah.
You know? But then I changed my mindset and I started looking at other people and whatever. And now we do 30 implants a month or whatever we do.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was talking to a colleague that's in my same town the other day, and we were talking about implants, and he said, yeah, I just don't do anymore. I mean, there's just not a need in our little community. And I was like, yeah, you know, isn't that's too bad, isn't it? And it reminds me when I first moved to town 12 years ago, I had 2 friends. They were both convenience store owners, good friends, you know, different convenience stores. 12 years later, my one buddy barely getting by with his one convenience store, always complaining to me, always, you know, the location, the whatever, an excuse for everything.
Yeah.
My other friend now has 12 convenience stores, same town, same clientele. And so really, it starts with you. I mean, mentally, we're our own, you know, we box ourselves in with our thinking and we shoot our own foot, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it starts with, it's so easy. I mean, it really starts with the mindset, and you can just change.
We see that same thing in the same building. You'll see 2 of this. I mean, I know of a commercial building in that has 2 practices in it. Of the same street corner, it's the same city, it's the same building, and they've both been there for the same period of time, and one's doing 3 times what the other one's doing, and one has excuses about why there's no reason they but one's got an excuse for why the community's saturated and how the other person in the building's taking all their patients.
Yep.
And the other one somehow succeeding really well.
You know?
But they're in the same community.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I do think that patients will respond to the attitude you have about your career and the passion you have for your craft, and they can sense that, and it's just good to continue to make improvements.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, well, anyway, back to your question.
How do they get in touch?
So you can email me, lowry@catalystdentalsolutions.com. I know, ridiculous long email.
That's all that was left. Yeah. That's all you can get.
I mean, that's what they got, so I took it. Or check out our website.
Which is?
www.catalystdentalsolutions.com. Okay. Some great information and tips and tricks and insights on, you know, how to grow your practice through your niche.
Okay. Well, Jason, it's been a pleasure, man. You've got a great attitude about this, and I think a lot of people can have a lot to learn from you. I look forward to staying in touch and doing this again.
Great. Awesome. Thanks so much, Reese.